Blog Talk Radio.
Good night. Welcome to the Motion Picture Radio Show. It is Sunday. I believe it's Sunday, May 5th. It's Cinco de Mayo. Cinco de Mayo. So that's what's up. And I am one of your hosts, Victorious. Brother Victorious, Victorious Fabricito, all those type of good things. And I am happy to be here today. And to my left, we have the ever illustrious, intelligent, and all that good stuff, Scott Degree. Shouty from the mean streets of Clearwater, Florida. Jet Set and Jasmine.
Jasmine,
what's going on?
Hey, I'm doing well. You home?
And Shouty from Clearwater. Speaking of Shouty, we had a. We skipped the show, right? But it's for good reason, though. It's for good reason because I think last week at this time we were all coming back from Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes. Yes.
We had our third, fourth triannual Connect the Dots. We had got up. I think it's called Connect the Dots, I think it was called. And we had a lot of our listeners came out, hung with us out there in East Point. We were East Point, you know, but we did go all about the city, and I want to thank everyone for joining us. We had lots of fun. I drove.
Yes, you did.
Many an hour. I don't know how I made it back. Well, I do know how I made it back, but, you know, there, but the grace of God I go, they say. I don't know. But I salute to everyone who drove, who again took the train, flew
in.
All the way from California
hitchhiked,
yes. We picked one up on the way to another show. And it was dope. So I think the next time we're going to do it is in New York, somewhat in the summer. We're not sure exactly when, but, you know, look out for that.
Yes, definitely had a.
Everyone pick up yourself.
I think Shaw is still recovering, so we're not expecting him tonight.
Shaw is a hot commodity now. I think Shaw be in the room now and anything. So yeah,
you know, I know. That Connect the Dots did him well, huh?
Yeah, I think he had to see that it was real. You know, sometimes, you know, you got to see it in front of your face. That, you know, we do our numbers. It's doing it since 2011, right? 2013
yeah.
Right now. And, We've been going strong. Yeah.
It was in his face. I think we made some babies some motion picture babies.
Well, we ain't making nothing.
Not we.
But,
no, we're in Shaw's face. No, we,
yes,
the three of us, have no baby.
Yeah, you know, as long as Jazz and I are godparents, you know, we don't care what you do with your little piggy, but just make sure that we are godparents. But not like the real sense, it's the sense that we have the name and the title, but if something happens, I'm not taking care of your children, so, yeah.
And, yeah, don't ask me.
But, so, if anyone wants to call up and talk about that, 323-657-1479, that is 323-657-1479. Press the number 1 if you'd like to go into the queue, and then we'll talk to you and, you know, all that. But today's topic is, we already talked about half of it. We talked about the stretching out part, but there's a snapping back. And the topic is stretched out and snap back, and it's life after babies. So we're going to get into that, you know, people having children and worrying about their sex appeal, sexuality, the coochie snorter, all that. We're going to get into that. And it's a good show for, I think, men as well who may, you know, have issues, and we're going to fix all them issues. But first, I saw The Great Gatsby. Not like a new joint, but the old joint that's been out for like the past 30 years or whatever. But, you
really?
Know, they, I think DiCaprio is coming out with a new one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, let me see the old one since, you know, whatever. And so on Netflix, it was a good movie. You know, first let me say that it was near and dear to my heart because, Ralph Lauren, he actually had designed all the clothes for all the males in the movie.
Okay.
He started in 67 with his side ship, but after that happened, he blew up after that, you know what I'm saying? And when you see the original Great Gatsby, you can kind of see, like, okay, like, they almost had, like, a couple of Ralph Lauren commercials up in there. But it was pretty dope. He didn't get the Academy Award for it, the actual wardrobe, like, costume designer. He got that. He never gave Ralph Lauren his credit, but Ralph did get the money and the prestige after that. So, you know, that was dope to kind of see the styles that they used back then. And, I mean, it was dope. It was 143 minutes, you know what I'm saying, Netflix time. So it was a bit long. It started out cool. Robert Redford was in it, Mia Farrow. Old boy from Law & Order, old boy. I don't really know his name, but he was up in there, too. The dude,
Jamar Moore?
Like, I think Jamar Moore was a slave back then, but, it's the dude from Law & Order, like the old dude, that with the nose and shit, dark eyes, paws. You know, he was in that.
Hey, Vic, so, I read the book.
Oh, did you? He was Nick Carraway.
Yeah, okay.
And the cap, you read the book, you remember nothing from it, that's great.
Yep, pretty much.
DiCaprio and Redford, they played Gatsby. But, like, you know, in the middle, like, after the first hour and a half, I was like, this is like chick flick. And, you know, I did chick flick, but this is like chick the fuck out. But at the end, though, like, there definitely was enough gunshots and bloodshed. So it was a cool movie. I'm actually, you know what, I got 5 minutes left. I was watching it right before the show. So, yeah, Great Gatsby, definitely good. We didn't read it in my school, but maybe one day I'll act like I read it. And I'll wait for the Catcher the Rye movie. Cause that was really the book that I read in high school. Well, elementary school, whatever.
Okay.
So that was that. So
well,
that was definitely.
I remember liking it, but I don't remember anything about it.
Yeah, it seemed like a real drag to read, looking at the movie and shit. But that was Deathflix. Deathflix with the brother Victorious. So, no applause, clap, 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 clap.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, everyone should know that I'm running the boards tonight, so.
There we go. Hey, did everyone know that Aaliyah and Dame Dash were having, they were like, fornicating?
Yes, even I knew that.
I'm the only one, because I listened to the Dame Dash interview, and
he's
talking about, oh, shit, okay, so you're getting comfortable behind the boards, it's great. I never knew.
Okay, well.
What are R. Kelly for?
I don't know what that has to do with getting stretched out and snapping back, but let's go ahead and jump
into. Well, God bless the dead, you know. Anyway, so And you don't want to know. So anyway.
No, I don't want to know how stretched out or snapback Aaliyah was.
Oh, my God.
The beautiful, angelic Aaliyah.
May she forever rest in peace
forever,
and shine down upon us.
Lowly individuals. Okay, so here are some major relationship stressors after having a baby. We talked about a few weeks ago, of course, all the physical stuff that women deal with post having children, sometimes years after, having some difficulties getting back. But tonight we want to talk about the things that really have a direct effect on relationships. So one of those three top things are role changes. So your number one woman, you know, caters to you, does everything that you could ever imagine, now shifts from being your partner, your lover, to being a parent, which means someone else is starting to get majority of the attention in the household.
Mm.
So we're going to talk a little bit about role changes. And I don't think people are quite prepared for that. And I don't know if there's anything that can truly prepare a couple for role changes, but maybe listening to this show will.
What I would like to call them is old jealous of the baby ass niggas. But but go ahead.
Okay.
You love me, we love me.
That is how they sound. The other major relationship stress is lifestyle adjustment. Everything revolves around the baby. Your work, your sleep, your eating, how you spend your extra money, how you spend your time. Everything is around this baby for really the rest of your life. Major adjustment. Do you have a hood term for that?
Shit done change. Shit done change.
Shit done change.
Shit done change.
And then finally is the financial demands. A lot of mothers struggle with can they stay at home or do they have to return back to work? You know, there's other issues. You have an extra person that you need to feed. There's daycare. There's diapers. There are, you know, so many things that you are responsible financially. And a lot of that pressure comes on to whoever the provider in the household is. So financial changes. And can you translate that in for our guest, Vic? No? Vic's not here with the ratchet translation? Okay. So these top three stressors we found that couples experience as they have their first or sometimes even, you know, second, third, or they families mesh together. So we are fortunate enough tonight to have Vic, are you there?
Okay. The movie just got too good. I'm sorry. I just wanted to see the twist at the end.
Very funny.
That won't happen.
Well,
it won't happen.
Yeah, no. It's okay. If you're gonna be gone, just stay gone.
So if I leave the house, just stay out.
Yeah. Don't be trying to come back.
I got you. Okay.
Anyway.
Financial thing changed. I heard that part. Financial change.
And then the financial demands. Do we have a hood term?
Well, this is one more potato in the pot, Jazz. Like, you know, man, you gonna make do. You gonna make do.
Okay, we gonna make do, even though so much shit has changed, and the baby getting all the attention.
God will provide.
Oh.
Now, if that ain't a hood term, I don't know what is. God will provide.
So tonight we are very fortunate to have a professional, because God knows that Vic and I are not right now, at least, to talk to us about life after baby. And actually, this particular guest host that we have on tonight was with us about a year and a half ago. And a year and a half ago, she only had one child. And since then, she's been listening to both the Emotion Picture, the Mile High Club. She's been to a few jet-setting Jasmine parties. And she's since got married and has added on. She has another, what did you say, another potato in the pot? Is that what you said?
Well, the potato in the pot, it's not necessarily the baby. That's just like when people say, how are we going to do it? What are we going to do? One potato in the pot. Get a potato in the pot. You know, it's just basically saying, like, it ain't, I mean, I guess it's not really true, but it's saying, like, you know, it's pretty, as easy as throwing another potato in the pot. Like, you know, you're going to make do. You know, you shouldn't really stress out too much about the adding on family, you know, you'll make do.
Well, hopefully our guest host tonight is more than just making do. So I'm going to actually bring her in. We have Valerie joining us. She's our licensed social worker who works primarily with children and families, especially with mothers and teaching awesome parenting skills out of the Tallahassee, Florida area. So, Mrs. Dallas, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening.
Welcome back.
Well,
welcome
thanks
back.
For having me back. I really appreciate it. It feels good to be back in the house.
So, Valerie, since we last spoke, before we get into, you know, all the all the particulars about life after baby, tell us about your growing family. Who do we have to welcome?
Well, we have to welcome my wonderful husband. We've been married for 2 years. We just celebrated our anniversary in April for 2 years. And let's see here. And then I have a nine-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
She's getting ready to start middle school next year. So that's a whole other transition for our family as well. And we have our little one, Haru, who is 8 months old, eight months strong.
Wow. So your family has grown in a lot of different ways. You have a new marriage and a new baby,
yes.
And
mm-hmm.
Also a growing young lady.
Yes.
Awesome. So
she's
how
bubbly.
Has
she's so happy.
Oh, say it again, Vic.
I was saying she's been so happy.
Yes, I'm really blessed. I'm in a good spot.
Do you always sound like this, or are you just putting on for the show?
No, I do not always sound like this. We have to be real and honest. Sometimes it's a lot more. You can hear a lot of my northern accent come out when the frustration level rises. But right now, today has been a good day, so you'll get a lot of pleasant, joyful, gleeful Valerie.
Nice.
Which is cool because our producers say that 46% of moms get very irate with their husbands or partners once a week or more.
That's about right.
Is that about right?
That's about right. But I think we have a good way of, you know, handling our frustrations with each other. So, you know, it doesn't, you know, turn into a full-on brawl. We're able to communicate what our frustrations are because I couldn't live in a house of chaos. So it's a good, you know, thing that we're able to communicate and express our frustrations with each other. Because I'm pretty sure he has a certain level. Do we have the statistics on the male frustrations with the wife? Because I'm pretty sure that he has a couple of frustrations with me from time to time, too.
Well, you know what? So it doesn't really say about the husbands, I guess because mm-hmm. the women are more likely mm-hmm. to share their frustration. But it does
yeah.
say that majority of women are really peeved because the dads don't know what to do around the house or with the
yeah.
kids.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a source of your frustration at times?
You know, before the baby was born, you know, it's like, you know, since I teach parenting classes, I have like a foresight as to, you know, some of the stresses to expect. So we have that conversation of, you know, okay, this is what I need you to do because, you know, I want him to do certain things, but his idea of what, you know, I need him to do might not be what my idea of what I need him to do is. So I became very specific. These are the things that I need you to do, you know, once this baby gets here, especially when I go back to work. I need you to get him ready in the morning. I'll take care of breakfast and I'll take care of ironing our clothes, but you getting him ready in the morning is what I need you to do. So I think just, you know, being very explicit and telling him, you know, so I'm not walking around like, why is this Negro not picking up, you know, diapers? Why is he not doing this? Why is he not doing that in my head? I just came out and told him, and, you know, it's been working out, you know, just fine. So it's been, you know, a less of a stress for me because in the morning he does what he needs to do, gets the baby ready, and then I'm good to go.
Cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say, like, I didn't leave no mess nowhere. Cause, well, he's in check. Is he in check?
Is he in check? What do you mean?
Would you describe it as in check?
I mean, is he doing what he needs to do?
I got scared just now.
Oh, no.
Negro, but not. Because there's no reason
was
for
funny.
No fantasy. You know,
it out.
I told him.
No, it starts out with, you know, my husband, and we want to welcome my beautiful 9-year-old daughter. And then she was like, did the Negro do what he needed to do?
you know, that's the conversation that I had in my head. But I kid you not, if I would have came to him at, you know, I need you to do this, I need you to do that, then that would have led to a confrontation. But in my head, that's, you know, the dialogue that I had. Like, I need him to do X, Y, and Z, because if he's not doing X, Y, and Z, it's going to be on, you know. He's going to see, like, a lot of, you know, frowns and, you know, I might push a little chair here and there or something. Let me see. No, in my mind, I had that conversation. And then, you know, sometimes as women, we start, you know, wandering. We take it to a whole nother level. Like, and if he don't do it, you know.
What's going to happen?
But I came to him and I was like, you know, this is where I need you to help me, you know. And if you help me do these things, I think things will go a whole lot smoother. Our mornings will be a whole lot smoother if, you know, if you help me do this. So in my mind, I had that, you know, that full-on, you know, we're going to brawl, you know, type conversation. But in actuality, it was a real pleasant, you know, conversation and everything.
I wonder if he thought so. What do you think, Vic?
Well, I think, and speaking for him, as long as that was kept in her head, I'm pretty sure he was cool.
So I think, and you know what, we actually do have a stat from Dads, and you can tell me if you think this is the source of your partner's frustration. It says that 58% of new fathers express a feeling of frustration with the loss of, oh, interesting, their frustration comes from a loss of intimacy. So they don't really care as much about what needs to be done, and there comes from a loss of intimacy. Would you say that that's something that either you experienced personally or something that you have made an effort to avoid having?
You know, as much as I try to avoid it, I kid you not, it's something that I'm constantly working on, because before the baby got here, this is an adult show, so we can talk about this. The sex was
absolutely
good, and it was plenty. Oh, because we have a 9-year-old and she pretty much self-regulates herself. You know, she has sleepovers. She's, you know, out of town for the entire summer with grandparents and her dad. So, I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, we're like Adam and Eve in our Garden of Eden in Tallahassee, you know. But the baby has definitely, you know, put a spin on, you know, our level of intimacy. And, you know, how often we can be intimate. And it's something that, I try to make an effort, but I kid you not, it's the one thing that I'm still working on. And I try to find other ways, you know, to be intimate, you know, rather than just, you know, flat on intercourse, you know, a hug, you know, some cuddling and some spooning and trying not to say that, you know, I have a headache and I'm tired, which is true. And they're not all excuses because, you know, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. I just put the baby down. So seriously, I do have these issues going on right now. And especially, you know, if you're a breastfeeding mom, it's like, you know, okay, you're sharing your body with, you know, your baby, and then you got to share it again with your husband. So it's a real balancing act. But I kid you not, that's the one thing that I'm seriously working on is, you know, trying to make sure that the intimacy level, let's just be honest, it's not going to go back to pre-baby, you know, 8, 9 times, 10 a week. That's, I'm sorry, okay? But I'm trying to shoot for a more realistic number here, you know?
Okay. I love the honesty. I absolutely love the honesty. And I like the fact that you actually have a goal in mind.
Yeah.
A realistic
goal. Yeah, realistic goal.
So, Vic, is this something that you hear from your male counterparts as they, you know, starting to grow their families, get married, have kids, that the intimacy is something that they miss?
No, not really.
Those who stick around
and raise their kid and stuff. But, I don't really hear too much of that. You know, maybe guys don't share that much as far as that's concerned, as far as, guys share their sex life, but as far as lack of sex life, you don't really hear that, you know, too often. I have no knowledge of that, you know.
Well, interesting from my end, and then we're going to go to a little break, and we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about the snapback part of life after baby. But in a lot of the workshops and parties that I do with women, we find ourselves really sharing with one another, very much what Valerie said, we would like to.
Wait.
Are you?
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Yes. I do know a person.
Turn the television off. I need to do what I need him to do, Valerie.
No. There was. I was watching the credits. No, but there is actually a person who I remember. It's a close friend, so he shared that with me. And after the baby, it was like no sex like none, like no sex, period. He had to beg for some, and that was like, you know, months in between. Because she was feeling, I guess, like not like herself or however it goes. And, you know, I guess, you know, with the postpartum depression, whatever. But he was like, no sex at all. You know, sometimes had maybe. But in, like, in that year after the child, it may have been like 2 times he had sex. And that, I can't say that caused him to, but he did eventually step out and, you know, so he had to deal with that, that whole thing. And, yeah, so that did actually happen, that I can remember. Mm. I remember he was like, oh, damn it, well, really begging, like, I'm your husband, like, you know, come on, let's, you know. Yeah, that has happened before.
So there are a lot of reasons why women may have some challenges recreating that intimacy. A lot of it, Valerie just explained, just the hustle and bustle of having a new child in the household or having other children and needing to readjust. And then there's also some more serious matters, like Vic mentioned, postpartum depression, just depression in general. As women, we have a lot of pressure to get back to a certain shape, or, you know, even better than we were before. So we're going to talk a little bit about the physical aspect and some of those challenges that women face with snapping back. And we're also going to take a look at the male's perspective. But in the meantime, we're going to inspire you with this song, I Can Find It. Much I didn't like that song until just now. Hey guys, Val, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, we're all here.
All right, cool. So yeah, that was Justin Timberlake bringing "Sexy" back. So how hard is it to snap back, Valerie? You have 2 children. Has is the snap back to you?
It was very important to me because before I got pregnant, I was at a very good spot in terms of, you know, health-wise, in terms of exercise-wise. I was running, you know, probably, 30 miles a week, you know, before I got pregnant. And I felt great. I was, like, you know, kind of like the best shape of my life. And, you know, exercise for me was a stress reducer, and it was a great way to, you know, end my day, you know, going for a wonderful run at the end of the day. And so, you know, after, and I did a lot better, you know, health-wise in terms of my eating and my diet when I was pregnant, you know, this time around. So I wanted, you know, to maintain that lifestyle because, you know, I have 2 children, you know, modeling me and modeling my behaviors. But, you know, it was hard. It was hard, you know, trying to, my diet was under control, but in terms of finding the time to exercise, you know, it was a difficult juggling task. And I kid you not, I just didn't get into the groove of getting back into an honest, you know, routine exercise program until about 3 weeks ago. So, okay. You know, that was difficult, you know, finding a program that was going to work for me and, you know, make sure that I find the time to go ahead and, you know, commit to it, you know, at least, you know, an hour a day of, you know, doing something that's going to be, you know, right for my body, you know, until 3 weeks. But, you know, I don't want women to, you know, get, it's a hard snapback. It took us, a 9-month transformation, you know, to become pregnant, to carry a baby to, you know, full gestation. And so, you know, finding that time to get back to what you were before you were pregnant. You know, it's not going to happen, you know, in 1 month, 3 months. At least give yourself, you know, that 9 months to a year time, you know, and just to find something, not to say I'm going to snap back and be this beautiful, you know, model like what we see on the cover of magazines, because not every woman, you know, can do that. We have to find something that's going to work for us, and, you know, being fit and healthy is a lifelong thing, and just not for the fact of saying, you know, I'm just going to shed 50 pounds and that's that. It's about, you know, getting into a lifestyle routine. And I feel as if, you know, it just didn't take me up until a couple weeks ago to get back into my lifestyle routine. So it took some time.
And do you feel that you have the support from your husband to do that?
Yeah, I did, because, you know, for a while I was trying to, you know, do it on my own, and I really didn't express to him that, you know, this was a desire of mine. But it wasn't until, you know, I told him that, you know, I'm really upset about the fact that I really don't have any time to exercise, and I feel as if, you know, I've lost a lot of weight, but I'm just a bunch of jelly. I'm just shaking everywhere. I have no time to, you know, commit to a program, you know. You know,
wait,
I'm 130.
Hey.
So shaking is wrong? So shaking was good.
No, shaking is good, but... Not in the sense, but wait, hold that thought. I want to talk more about the fact that she had to communicate to him that she was ready to get back in shape and needed his help.
Yes.
We have a caller.
And I kid you not, like, I told him that, and then, like, a week later, he bought me, like, a membership at a gym, and he was like, let's do this. And I was like, good morning. Mm-hmm. I say this, you know, months ago, you know. He heard my cry, and he saw that, you know, it was something that, you know, I wanted to do, and he was like, you know, I got you a membership at CrossFit. You know, and it's like the wonderful thing about it is that, you know, I have options between going between, you know, 6 a.m. in the morning or 7:30 p.m. in the, you know, evening. So, and, you know, there are two locations, you know, in my town. So, I mean, it's like, okay, now he's like, I've done this for you. The opportunity, the door is open. Just please walk through it. So now the ball's in your court, Valerie. Set up, just go do it. So, I mean, I'm glad I communicated that with him because, you know, now it happened.
Nice. Good job.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, okay, we have Carter on the line. Carter, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, how are you?
I'm all right. Good evening, folks.
Good evening, and welcome to the Emotion Picture. What are your thoughts on the topic? Stressed out and snap back.
Yeah, I believe pregnancy can stress women out. You know, they toss a lot of thoughts back and forth in their head. In terms of their appeal to their mate or whatever have you like that. And like the young lady just said before, who was on the phone, you know, getting back in shape. But, you know, there are some females who fortunately for them don't even have to worry about going to a gym or adjusting their diet. They can just pop a baby out and then within 2 months' time, 3 months' time, you know, they're back to their regular shape like nothing.
So let me ask you, just touching base on some of the things we talked about a little bit earlier, about the emotional aspect of new parents and the stress that has on a relationship. Do you have any thoughts about that, the snapping back kind of to the emotional aspect of the relationship?
Well, where I'm concerned, I guess luckily for me, my wife, she doesn't exercise, but... you know, she has good genes. So after our first child, it was nothing for her to get back into what her regular body was. And now that we've had our second child, I don't believe getting back to her body, I mean, her butt has got bigger, but I don't believe that, you know, she's going to have a problem where her belly is concerned. And that whole stretch mark thing, you know, I was avid in putting oils, you know, oiling her body down and stuff like that with vitamin E oil and stuff like that to, you know, help that whole stretch mark situation and things like that. But it did take a stressful period when, you know, I wanted my sex, you know what I mean? And she was just like,
your
you know,
mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I got, you know, this is what I want, you know what I mean? Right now, I didn't know what she wanted, and at that moment, I probably didn't care, you know what I mean? But it is an adjustment that, you know, us men have to make because she is a breastfeeder. So, yeah, like the young lady said, you know, it was the baby wanting some of her body, her wanting to do what she wanted with her body, and then me doing what I wanted to do with her body that might have been putting unnecessary pressure. So I had to kind of adjust and fall back to that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I absolutely appreciate your perspective, point of view, and the fact that you've taken some of that pressure off your wife.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Thank you so much for calling in, Steve.
Not a problem. You guys have a good night.
You too.
All right.
All right. All right, Steve.
Cool. He said his sex. Did y'all hear that?
Well, each person needs to claim the sex, no?
Yeah, I just like the ownership of it, you know. I
don't
actually,
say
I
all.
Liked it. So, Valerie, what did you think about our caller's point of view, hearing it from the male's point of view?
You know, I liked how he, you know, he obviously idolizes and loves his wife. And just the whole fact of, you know, how he said during the pregnancy how he rubs her down with oil. You know, I know for him he was probably like, you know, let me prevent these stretch marks. But I'm pretty sure for her, he was like, you know, he cares about what I look like. And also that massage during pregnancy must have been, you know, a wonderful form of intimacy too as well. So, you know, I'm glad to hear he's so supportive.
And a lot of men too,
you know, it's like, you know, during pregnancy, it's like, you know, do I touch her? Do I not touch her? You know, I want her, but she's getting huge, you know, and I think it's good for, you know, couples, you know, to communicate that and talk about that, you know, and, you know, also try to keep some sense of intimacy alive during, you know, pregnancy as well. Because for a woman, your body's going through so many changes and transitions and hormonal rages. It's good to see that your husband wants to stick by you and your mate wants to stick by you and support you and touch you and physically then want to be there for you too as well.
Well, what man doesn't want pregnant sex? I don't know.
A lot of men are kind of apprehensive about it, to be honest.
What?
You know, like, they're like scared. Am I going to break something? Am I going to hurt the baby?
Please.
No.
Well,
I've seen it.
Yeah, it's very true. And a lot of women also tend to not feel well in that first trimester, very tired, sometimes very sick and nauseous. And so as you transition into a more comfortable time in your pregnancy, he may just kind of be used to being told no or, you know, that he's not feeling well. So it's important that we, as women, when we're pregnant, that we communicate kind of where we are in our pregnancy, how we're feeling, which can change frequently. And take advantage of, you know, sometimes we have to find other ways to be intimate if intercourse doesn't, you know, exactly do it for you at that time. So, yeah, there's a lot of other things that you can do. So it sounds like one of the things I'm hearing, one of the questions that we have come up as we were taking a look at the show topic is there more pressure on women to snap back, and obviously it is because we deal with the physical aspect of it and then also the emotional changes, but I think it's important that we recognize how much men, the changes that they go through with welcoming a new person into your relationship, so to speak. So I do want to ask Valerie, either from your experience with working with other women and couples and families and your own personal experience, what are some of the adjustment issues that your husband or you've heard that other men go through as they welcome a new child into their relationship? And things that women can be very sensitive to.
Yeah, I think a lot of things, you know, for the men that I've worked with and, you know, for my husband too as well, is eye-opener. You know, they're so accustomed to be, you know, the financial head of the household, you know, the breadwinner, you know, in charge of the finances, you know, in that aspect. And just the financial costs that children, you know, infants can bring about can be a real shock, you know, to a lot of dads. And I heard you, you know, mention it in your introduction, just the financial cost of having a child. And I just think about how much we spend in daycare alone. It's like when I share that, you know, with some of my friends, you know, the cost for infant daycare, good quality daycare, because, you know, you want the best for your children, you know, and then to compound that with, you know, the cost of diapers, you know, the cost, if you're not breastfeeding, the cost of formula, the cost for developmental toys, the cost for clothing, and none of these things are cheap. I mean, the thing about babies is that they constantly grow, so it's constantly buying, you know, more and more and more stuff. You know, for a lot of guys, it's like the financial shock and, you know, how can I maintain? It's like, you know, I'm used to providing my wife with certain things. Now I have this other child to care for. And the responsibility, you know, for fathers who are really doing, you know, their role and really wanting to participate and be active, you know, emotionally, spiritually, and financially in their child's life, it's an eye-opener, and it can be a little toiling and overwhelming if it's not something that they have the foresight and have prepared for, you know, to begin with. So I know with our family, you know, we've had to, you know, scale back because just the cost alone of this little one is like, you know, plus, you know, you want to think about long-term, you want to save, you want to put your children through college. The cost of having a child is very expensive. It's very expensive. If you have a certain way in your mind on how you want to, you know, raise your child where they can have the opportunity and access, you know, to do things, because you can raise a child, you know, very cheaply, put them in, you know, poor quality child care and just hope for the best, and, you know, slack on, you know, basic needs. I mean, you can do that if your priorities are not mixed up. But in our minds, and especially in a lot of the minds of the parents that I work with, especially, you know, a dad coming to therapy, wanting services, you know, he has a certain goal that he has in mind for his family. So, I mean, trying to help them navigate that and work through that, that's one of the main stresses that I've seen, you know, with dads.
Wow. I'm scared straight. A lot.
Yeah.
Ooh, condoms for me, boy. I tell you, that's a lot. You said it fast too. That was fast as shit. Like they naked. Like, oh shit.
He's probably doing spinning. Like 10 other things right now.
I am.
What are you doing? Come, just humor us. What are you doing right now?
Okay, right now we're I went to go visit my parents for the weekend. So I'm actually at at the Crackle Barrel in a parking lot. You know, trying to organize the diaper bag. You know, my husband's walking around with the baby. You know, while I'm on the phone, because obviously I'm being too loud and the baby's trying to sleep. So I'm trying to organize the diaper bag, get a, you know, pump. So I'm trying to get a bottle ready so when he comes back in the car, the bottle will be ready to go. So a couple of different things.
Wow. Very, very, very interesting. It's amazing how much women we put on our plates and we manage as much as we possibly can. And it's just so important that your partner understands all the things that you have to accomplish in a day, and that we also share the responsibility.
Yes.
I definitely wanted to talk about this because we have a lot of super women listeners that are in our chat room and our Facebook room, and I know that call in and listen to the show, who try to take on really, really everything that has to do with the baby, the household, and also their own physical health. And believe it or not, men, it says here that over 50% of men express a feeling of frustration. Actually, that's wrong. 72% of men have a huge frustration with their wife or their partner that they don't trust them to properly take care of the baby. So, I thought that this statistic, wherever it's from, was pretty interesting because we hear a lot of women express their frustration with not having help from their partner. But at the same time, we hear a lot of women taking it all on, not doing what you talked about very early in the show, which was telling him exactly what it is that you needed done to help your household run smoothly. And then there's also men who maybe they're not saying anything, but they are feeling a little hurt that their wife or their partner doesn't trust them to be a part of the process. So kind of the saying, closed mouth doesn't get fed. I think it's important that we need to talk to whoever it is that's helping us raise our children exactly what we need and allow them to help us. So let me ask you, Valerie, would you say that sometimes – I'm just going to finish my question. You can answer after we talk to our caller. But do you find that sometimes, even though he doesn't do whatever it is that you're asking exactly how you want it done, it will get done eventually?
Yes, I believe that. And it's like I can't expect him to do it the way I would do it. But I know that when he's doing it, he's doing it to the best of what he could possibly do. And, you know, my perspective of how I want things to get done, it's not necessarily always the right thing. That's just me, Valerie, being anal and wanting it done a certain type of way. But he's out there, he's doing it. So I can't look down on him like, goodness, why didn't you do it this way? You know, goodness, you got the boy in a shirt and a pants that don't even match. Seriously. But thank you for dressing him, you know. And that's the important part, that he's dressed and he's clean, you know. So, you know, so I mean, it's not about, you know, and that's where we have to put, you know, self aside and say that, you know, what's the bigger picture here? What is the bigger thing that we're looking for? And are we looking to be nitpicky, or are we just looking to, you know, make sure that, you know, things are done and things are orderly, you know. And so I think that's a, you know, the debate that we need to have in our mind, and you have that settled.
Gotcha. Thank you so much. So we have another caller, and our producers want everyone to know that those stats are from CNN, that they didn't just pull them from out their ass. Okay, cool. Roxanne, you're on the line.
Hi, Jess. This is Roxanne.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, group. Hi, Val.
Oh, hey there. I'm sorry. Hey there.
You know, it's Roxanne, funny that you mentioned. I'm sorry?
I was just going to say, are you all recovered from Atlanta? You feeling good? You snap back?
I actually, well, I always snap back. But I actually just started unpacking today. Just believe it or not, I had a crazy week.
She didn't go straight home.
Don't say that. But I want to comment. I have a few things that I want to say. I was married, of course, and when I had our first child, I had already had a child from a previous relationship, but our first child, you know, maybe a month later, I decided to sign myself up to go to school full-time and go back to work, so my life was just totally in disarray. So trying to take care of this young baby, the other child, of course, and my husband was, like, off the hook. Now, I want to point out something that Val said regarding, you know, she pretty much gave him the to-do list, her husband, or gives him the to-do list for him to, you know, complete certain tasks. But how do you give a to-do list without seeming overly bossy? You know what I mean? Some men, not all, they take that as a way of you pretty much being like a dictator, and some of them really don't know how to handle that. I've had many situations, many times, where I've pretty much given my husband the list for him to, you know, take care of while I take care of such and such, and I would have to pretty much go over his work because it was either done half-assed, I guess maybe to my specifications, I really didn't like the way he was doing it or whatever the case may be, and there would be always some type of argument that would ensue. Then the next thing, of course, when you're busy going to school, you're tired, you're working, and then you have this little baby and your other child to take care of, breastfeeding. Me breastfeeding my baby became like a big task because he would get jealous. He'd see this baby eating to sustain, and he'd get upset about that. So that was another thing that would bring drama in my household. But how do you, I guess just to ask my question again, Val, how do you pretty much give directions and not seem like a dictator?
Okay. Remember, like I said originally, it was like, you know, the conversation that I had in my head is like, I need this nigga to do X, Y, and Z, you know? But when I came to my husband, I was like, you know, I need your help, and this is how I need you to help me. So it wasn't like, you know, saying, I need you to do this. I'm asking you. It's like, you know, a plea, not necessarily a cry, but it's like, this is my, I'm coming to you as your wife. I need your help, and this is how I need you to help me. Now, if I had, you know, knowing his personality, I know that's how, okay, he's listening, he's opening, he needs my help. What does she need me to do? That, and so I know him. So, but if he was a different type of person, I would say, you know, okay, what would you feel comfortable doing? I mean, in here, because, you know, we all need to break this up because I can't do it all. So what would you feel comfortable doing, having him choose the task? Because I think if I had my husband choose the task at the time, he would have said, okay, well, I'll clean bathroom. And I don't need you to clean the bathroom, babe. This
no,
is
we
what
don't
I need
that.
You know, to do, because, you know, he cleans the bathroom
and then
really well.
Clean bathroom. when they
what
get married, they
what's so funny is they don't understand that if they help out in the daytime, then they could probably get some at the end of the night. You know what
that
I mean?
Exactly.
Because that's one
exactly.
or three less things you'd have to do. So it's like a win-win situation. Everyone wins in that case.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Thank you, guys.
Right. Thank you for calling.
No problem. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. I'll see you later.
Later.
So, you know, I one of the things also is that oftentimes we give direction when we are at our breaking point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we we're juggling 10 different things, and at that time we're saying kind of what Roxanne is, that dictator comes out, I need your help, I need to do this now, and opposed to kind of pre-planning, if you can, if it's possible. If the baby's already here, now's a great time to reevaluate who's doing what in the household, what needs to be done, and what could give, you know, maybe you a little bit more time to relax so that you don't have a headache, so that you can have his sex. So, you know, whether it's making a list or a chart, I know some families have charts up. We talked about some couples recently that we had the pleasure of meeting who have some issues with time, sharing time to snap back. So the wife wants to be able to go to the gym and participate in some, you know, activities that will kind of get her back into the groove of things, and she has to negotiate time with her husband. But if she doesn't open up her mouth and make it very clear, he may feel like she's not ready yet to be out the house. So it's a lot going on with communication. Any other tips for how people can maybe start to reevaluate how things are going in their household and gain more support from their partners, Val?
You know, another big thing for me is date night. You know, the beautiful addition to our family, he is wonderful, he is a blessing. But I need time away from that little boy where, you know, I can reconnect with, you know, my husband, and so we can, you know, have some one-on-one time. You know, if it's just, you know, twice a month or, you know, once a month, we need that. We need that as a couple, you know, for our sustainability, for our, you know, our peace of mind. So that's one thing that, you know, I'll try to, you know, in terms of the snapping back, is just to make sure that, you know, there is some time carved out, you know, for you and your husband, your boyfriend, your mate, whomever you decided to have this child with. Just make sure there's some one-on-one time, too, as well.
Now, what kind of exercise should women be doing? I guess we should have asked our last or our other caller, what kind of oils should they be rubbing on the person? Now, what exactly are we doing here to make sure that you get back to where you were?
Okay, what I'm doing is CrossFit, which is, you know, which I feel like these trainers are whipping me into shape in ways I have never been whipped before. I have muscles being activated that I did not even know existed within me. But that's something that I wanted to do because, you know, I wanted to become a stronger person, you know. So that's something that I chose. But I think that, you know, you need to look into it. For some women, it might be yoga because they might need a, you know, opportunity to stretch, you know, actually those muscles and to relax and, you know, to become a little less tense. For some women, it might be Zumba because they love to dance. You know, for some women, it might be, you know, a spin class because, you know, they need to pump out that aggression and pump out that frustration. But I think it's finding something you choose or, you know, being in a facility or, you know, going for a walk. You know, that's just as simple as, you know, that's the easiest thing that we can do is possibly going for, you know, a walk. But, you know, just finding something that you can enjoy or trying a couple things until you find something that's going to, you know, work for you. But and just not the exercise, but the diet and the nutrition, too, as well, you know, goes hand in hand. Because, what you put into your body and what you fill your body with, it has a great deal of effect on your emotions and, you know, what you're feeling and how you make it through the day and what's giving you energy to power you through the day, too, as well. But just, you know, for a woman to find something that's going to work for, you know, them and work for their body and get, you know, get their heart rate going.
Sounds good to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to recap a little bit of what we learned tonight and thank our guest. So first of all, we need to recognize communication, just really with every show we talk about how important communication with your partner is, and being upfront and maybe saying it before you need the help or before you find yourself really frustrated with needing help, welcoming this new little one. It's supposed to be the most exciting and beautiful
mm-hmm.
time in your life, but it can also be very, very frustrating, especially for new couples. That's important. The second thing that came up that was extremely important was not just the physical aspect of snapping back, but also the emotional aspect. So if that's spending time to connect with one another, as Valerie mentioned, date night, or again, just making your needs known, that's extremely important. And women recognizing that men want to help, they just don't always know how to help. And if you keep telling him he can't clean the bathroom right, he's going to stop trying. So, be fair and share the workload. And also,
and the
men,
list. Yeah,
and
I got a text from a man saying the list was a good idea. He said he wanted to start using that.
He likes the list. Good. get the lift.
Save your life. Save your life.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to fitness, whether it's you guys are working out together as a family, you find something that fits your time. So if, like Valerie mentioned, she has a gym now that's open early in the morning and late at night, so that accommodates their schedule. And the other thing, guys, is just don't give your partner a gym membership, but never volunteer to watch the baby so she can actually go to the gym. See that happen a lot, too. So we have some good tips moving forward, how people can snap back after they stretch it out. And oil, tangible oil, of course, for stretch marks. And
yeah,
any other type of
avocado oil is great for that type of stuff.
It is. It is, which is amazing.
You know what?
Ingredient.
Can we even talk about, there's nothing wrong, like, you, some women, they are going to get the stretch marks on the stomach, and I know a lot of women, they feel the way about that. And they
get
shouldn't. I have a friend, she calls it her mommy tats.
I call them my my tribal marks.
Yes, I like
that. Yeah, they are. Yeah, it's not that big of a deal, ladies. I mean, get back to your best you, and he's not going
just
anywhere.
Just tell him to keep all over the tribal marks. He'll be all right. Well, thank
He'll
you.
He'll be all right.
Thank you, our caller, Valerie. Thanks again for enlightening
us. Oh, thank you
guys
so much for having me. Thank you, thank you.
We want to wish you and your family all the best, and maybe the next time you're on the show, there'll be a third.
We'll see about that.
Well, we're going to have her back, you know, way before then, way before then.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Thanks, everyone, for listening tonight. Vicky, you taking us out with a song? Or?
Yeah, we're going to play a song. This is Six Man from Dead Prez. The name of the song is Baby Fat. And we'll see you all next week.
9 months holding. Baby boy came out first time, mama. Body ain't the same now, but she gonna get back in shape with a fresh start. She be daily putting shea butter on a stretch mark. Headed to the gym, Pilates class about to start. Having fun, it make her body feel back in charge. Hard work, but she knows that it's worth it. She be in her zone, going hard on the circuit. Remember knowing you was coming, it was crazy. Just to think that me and him was finna have a baby. Made the basement into a homemade gym. See, 9 months training, trying to get it on the treadmill. Got a little rest, breastfed, I was good. Used to put you in a stroller just to walk around the hood. It was hard, but I had to go and make up my mind. Be fit, it'll be fine. You know I had to decide to be a boss or be a follower. Go ahead and pay the cost so they can say I follow her. Mind over matter, matter simmers with time. A dime piece in the flesh, I don't shimmer, I shine. I get better with time, they say the firmer the berry within the stronger the fruit. I say the harder the regiment, then the higher the proof. Let's get it, push it to the limit, feel that burning feeling. Go harder, go home, go ahead and get in the zone, yeah.
You're so fly, 'cause you're here. always motivated to get up out of bed. I see you dedicated, and we so proud of that. Where my soldiers, where my ladies at? You can do it, mama, it's your baby fat. Shake it off, shake it off, shake it off, it's your baby fat. Shake it off, shake it off, shake it off, it's your baby fat.
Mama's back in the gym again.